will turn to James, book of James. We'll try to pick up where Brother Sterling left off last time. Let's read up through where we're going to be talking from today. Let's start in verse 1, go through verse 20. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Brethren, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But let the brother of humble circumstances glory in his high position. And let the rich man glory in his humiliation, because like the flowering grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with the scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we might be, as it were, the first fruits among his creatures. This you know, my beloved brethren. But let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, as we gather around your word once again to look at truth, to see more about yourself revealed to us by this word, I pray, Father, that you would help us this day, that you would open our spiritual eyes, that we would see and behold more great truths out of your word. We thank you, Father, that you've not left us comfortless, but that you've given us your Spirit who guides us and leads us. You've given us your word. You've given us all things that pertain to life. We honor and praise you today, Father. For just as my brother was talking about, how do non-believers make it? We make it by your power, by your word, by the comforting of the Spirit. We thank you for that, Lord. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our worship today. For in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you remember last week, my brother Sterling covered these words in verse 18. He closed with these words in verse 18. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we might be, as it were, the first fruits among his creatures. We were brought forth or born again by his will and the word of truth. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. We're holding, and you have in your lap the word of truth. It really should be exciting for us all the time, anytime we open this book. But due to the weakness of the flesh, sometimes it's not like that, is it? Sometimes we hear it read, we hear it preached, and it's not as exciting as it should be. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full in grace." Jesus Christ took on flesh, came and lived among us, and we have Jesus Christ here. He's the Word. He's a person. I find that hard to believe. Do you? Does that sink in? That He's a person and He's the Word. He's the truth, right? That's what we're going to look at today, the truth. You remember Pilate standing there looking at Jesus just a few feet away from Him? He said, "What is truth?" There He was. There's His answer to His question. The way, the truth, and the life standing right there in front of Him. And it's much the same today in America. Many people in America have a Bible in their home. If statistics are right, the majority of homes have a Bible. They've heard the truth of Scripture. They can't hear it. Or either they hear it and suppress it. They hold it down. They don't want to know any more. They love darkness rather than light. So we live in a day when most people, it appears, once again from polls, if they're right, they prefer a lie that will make them feel better for the present than for the truth. I've seen polls taken where the vast majority say that it's okay to lie at certain times, depending on the circumstance. John told the Pharisees this in Jesus told the Pharisees in John 8:44. He said, "You're of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him." He said, "Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. He's a liar and the father of it." People will be quicker to embrace a lie, especially nowadays, especially in America. They'll embrace a lie quicker than they'll embrace the truth. They have the desires of their father. Zechariah told this in chapter 7. He was telling the people what God required of them. And in verse 11, Zechariah says, "But they refused to listen. They pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears." Now you children here today, I don't advise you to do that. If your mom or dad places their hand on your shoulder and they're telling you something, I don't advise you to kind of pull away. It's not going to go well with you. I can tell you from experience. Well, people today are pulling away their shoulder from God. He's speaking, and they're pulling away the shoulder. They're stopping their ears. You know, in politics today, we have a term called spin. It's a fairly new term. When I was smaller, I never heard that word in politics. But you take a little truth, you take a lie, and you mix it together, you try to make it sound good. How would you like to be the White House spokesperson? You're asked questions, and you've got to turn that thing, you've got to add a little something to it and turn it in your favor. You can't just tell the truth. No. You can't just say, "Well, yep, you caught me." Nope. You've got to turn it. Whatever benefits them the most right at that time. We hear many times of, if you're an animal lover show and you watch many of these shows, what will they say at some point during that show? Millions of years ago, this animal evolved into what he is today. Oh, is it 67? Beep, beep. Lie detector just went off every time. You have to be on your guard. You really do. Today, you have to be listening to what they're saying. John 8, verses 31 and 32. Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word," that is, stay in it, "then you are truly disciples of mine. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The word of truth. That's what we want to hear. Whether it makes you feel good or bad, I don't know how you feel when you leave here after hearing the word. But you can always change your thinking to the word. Come in line. We can bring ourselves in line with the word, can we not? We don't have to stay where we are. If someone deceives you, now that's terrible. I mean, I'll admit that's a terrible thing. But to deceive your own selves, to purposefully hear the word of truth, and to turn from it, to purposefully deceive yourselves, that's worse. And that's what I wanted to cover, pick up on what my brother preached on last week in 18, the word of truth. But look at verse 19 and 20. This is our verses for today. Any questions or comments, just feel free. Verse 19, James says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." Another version says this, for there in 19, instead of saying, "This you know, my beloved brethren," another version says, "Take note of this." Make a note of this, he says. So take note of this, Shepherd's Fellowship. We were brought forth by the word of truth in that verse 18. So now James is telling us, starting here, to live by this same word of truth. You've been brought forth, so now let's live by it. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Well, quick to hear what?
The word of truth.
The word of truth. That's what we need to be, quick to hear it. Now, this was very important to the early church. They had to be listeners. They didn't just go home and read their own copy. Brother Jimmy, you remember a few weeks ago when I asked you about that, about the copy of Scripture and how they would have treated it and how many they had at that time? Do you remember what you told me? Yeah. That's right. When you were in the temple, you had better listen. So, those who were good listeners probably had a spiritual advantage. Those who paid attention and could listen intently to the word. They had to sit for long periods of time and listen to the reading of the word. You think just reading two chapters each time we come in here, they would read for hours. You remember a few weeks ago in Acts, we had a man named Eutychus. And Brother Paul got to preaching. He preached a long time. He went on till midnight. You remember what happened to Eutychus? Fell asleep, fell out of appeared to be a third floor window, and died. Now, I can feel for him because it gets close to midnight. Well, if it gets way before midnight, I'm about to doze off. But he made it. He was putting forth a good effort. But to go on till midnight, Paul raised him from the dead. Then it appears that they just went on. Just went on and till daylight. D. James Kennedy, I don't know if you remember him or not. You stand there in that long robe. You'd see him, and it looked so religious. You wonder if he was going to say anything really worth hearing. But he would surprise you. He would. And before he would read Scripture, he would say this. He would make this comment. And sometimes I'd be driving during the day, and when he came on, he would make this comment. He'd say, "Let us hear the inspired word of the living God." Well, that'll make you sit up straight. Or take your shoes off on holy ground. That's what we should keep in mind every time we hear the word read. The inspired word of the living God. I see with that, we're close to our break time. Why don't we take a 10-minute break? We'll meet back at 10 minutes after. They believe that, just... Right. It's not the truth. Just telling the lie doesn't make it so, but they actually think it's so. They, as far as they know, they're telling us the truth, right down to ever how many million it was. They know it. Something we need to hear, quick to hear about the word of truth. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, and I know I'm going through these scriptures kind of quick, and I'm going to send them out this week. I was planning on having them ready today, but I will send them out this week, every scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, "All scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." So he's covered it all. We have it all here in the Word of Truth. Teaching, reproof, correction. Which one do you need? It's all here. It's all here. And you know, God blesses His Word. Whoever is teaching on Wednesday night, ladies, or the men's meeting, or whoever's up here teaching, that's what God blesses, is the teaching and the reading and the preaching of His Word. It's not necessarily the other things that some of us might add in. It's His Word. So keep that in mind. That's what God blesses. It's His Word. We also need to be quick to hear Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word. We especially need to be quick to hear what Jesus told Satan. Satan was tempting him. What did Jesus do? It's written. Now, he could have told him a lot of things. He could have wiped him out and just quoted Scripture to him. He especially said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Food helps us temporarily. I'm all in favor for it. But this Word helps us eternally. It's an eternal Word. It's not going to pass away. It's not going to fade away. It's all going to be fulfilled. And that's our greatest need. And Jesus told it to Satan. You know, when a person is first saved, they just don't realize what they have here. I knew I wanted to get home and get in it every day. But I didn't fully realize what I had. Did you? Did any of you back at that time, can you remember that far back, some of you? Did you know what you really had here, the value of it? Is it sinking in that I'm bragging on the Word? As I looked at this lesson today, as I first glanced over the two verses that Pastor Sterling asked me to teach on, it began to sink in that I was going to get to spend about an hour bragging on the Word, talking about the Word. I said, okay, that's good. You know, there have been plenty of lost people come to this place or in other churches, they've heard the word read and preached. They got up and went right out. Didn't faze them. How's that possible? How do you hear truth proclaimed? You just get up and go right back to your life. You know, a lost person who hears this word over and over again, preached and teached, is really in danger. The more they hear it, the more they just get up and leave, they're in danger of being hardened. And I wonder, every time you hear it and reject it and walk out, it's a little more callous. Romans 2 and 5 says, "Because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." That's a scary thought, that they're storing up more and more wrath. Jesus asked the Pharisees a question there in John 8:43. He said, "Why do you not understand what I'm saying?" "It's because you cannot hear my word." They couldn't hear it. John 12:48, Jesus said, "He who rejects me and receives not my words has one who judges him. The word that I have spoken is what will judge him in the last day." Well, now we learn that here's our judge. Jesus is the Word. He's a person, and now here's the judge. If you own a Bible, if you have a Bible in your home, you're living with the judge. He's going to come in the last day. Many unbelievers are living with the judge. We need to be quick to hear, quick to act. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The natural man does not accept the things of God, the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." Some of you already know this, but you realize there are many professors in universities teaching the Bible today that don't have the Spirit, and they're trying to teach this book. That must be frustrating, to try to teach a book that you cannot understand. Have you ever invited someone to come to church with you? They came, the preaching of the Word gets intense, you feel it. You just know those words are hitting them. Sitting there getting excited, you know the words going to their heart? Well, maybe not. Unless God opens their minds. 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." It's absolutely incredible, isn't it? That we can feel like we can at the preaching and hearing and teaching of the Word. The lost person can hear it and yawn. The lost person can say, "Where are we going for lunch?" Get up and walk out. Hey, Jesus died for you. You can spend eternity with Him. Have a new, wonderful body. Oh, okay, well, whatever. 2 Timothy 2. 24 and 26. "The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will." God has to grant them repentance. He has to open their ears. They're the walking dead, so to speak. A lot of shows about zombies today. Lost people. Dead man walking. As James was challenging the first century church to be quick to hear, there's the same need today. Someone said that billions and billions of words are said every second, but only a few are really heard. Have you had those conversations with people? Oh, you're talking to them. But their body language and their eyes darting around, you know they're not listening to you. They're just waiting for you to finish speaking. There are many reasons people don't listen today. One reason is busyness. We live in a busy culture. I mean, people have got somewhere to go, it seems like, all the time. Sometimes our minds are on what we need to do next. And here's one I really see at work. This is a comical. Everyone is waiting for the next person to finish so they can tell their story. Have you had those conversations? As soon as you finish, they've got something to say. Didn't hear a word you said. Listening. They're not listening. You ever had anybody ask you about a health issue? As soon as you get the words out of your mouth, they say, well, I tell you, my. They go right into theirs. It's comical, really. Listening. Listening is a problem today, it seems like. Our attention spans in America have become very brief. We have a visual media that kind of helps out with that. Everything's very visual. Have you noticed that? We're waiting for the next show. The show will, the bomb blows up, the car chase, the arrest. Most scenes, if you've noticed, don't last much over 30 seconds and it's on to the next scene. It's a continual bombardment of visual. You don't have to listen. You just want your eyes to be fulfilled with those. But to just sit and listen to God's Word, you can't expect me to do that. To just sit and read it gets a little dull. Lord, speak to me. Your servant's listening. You have 60 seconds. That's about where we are. But there are some things we can do that will help us to listen to each other and to the Word of truth. Number one, listening requires an interest in the other person. Someone said that listening is loving your neighbor as yourself. Are we interested in what the other person's saying? Are we interested in their prayer requests? Are we interested in their concerns? We could also maybe limit our exposure to this visual media. Cheryl and I were at a restaurant. Family came out to eat, four of them. Looked like a mom and dad and two children. They all sat down, whipped out all four of them. I never saw them say a word. It was funny, but it was sad. I guess they talked. I guess they had to talk to the waitress. We must sit quietly and read God's Word with the intention of obeying, with the intention of listening. We must prepare for worship services and the hearing of the Word. Anything else? Did anybody think of anything else there? Why are we not listening? Why are we having a hard time sitting and listening?
Don't
want to
hear it.
Don't want to hear it? That's pretty big. It's what? Right. There's no joy there. There's a...
Involved, but to listen intently. You have to sit there, sit still, but be involved.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, there's another duty Brother James gives us after being quick to hear. Slow to speak. Now, a byproduct of listening more would be what?
Speaking less.
Speaking less. That's just natural. The more you listen, the less you are going to talk. A philosopher said, the ears are always open, ready to receive instruction. But the tongue is surrounded with a double row of teeth to keep it in bounds. We're quick with opinions, quick with verdicts. Solomon said in Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. The more words are flowing, sounds like the more sin is present. He also said in 17:28 of Proverbs, even a fool when he keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is counted prudent. If he doesn't say anything, you don't know he's a fool, do you? Think about what you are about to say. Have you ever heard that advice? Think about what you are about to say. Proverbs 21 and 13. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from trouble. If you guard what you say, you'll guard yourself from trouble. Some have said, well, if you think it, you might as well say it. You ever heard that? Is that the dumbest thing you've ever heard? I heard a 51-year-old man a few months ago professes to be a Christian say that. Now, I didn't slap him when he said it, but I thought it. So using his logic, shouldn't I have popped him? Same thing, according to him.
Well, people say, that's just my personality. I'm outspoken.
Ah. Yes.
Many a feeling has been damaged.
Many a feeling.
Because of somebody's outspokenness or their mindset that they need to tell you this for
yes.
your own good.
Yes.
I can help you with this.
Mm-hmm. I'm just an outspoken person, yes. That's true.
I read a way one time made the comment that you can keep your mouth shut and let the world wonder how stupid you are, or you can open it and remove all doubt.
That's right. Now, finally, in a few weeks from now, we're going to hear this taught on James 1:26. It's coming up. It's fast approaching. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. That's coming up in a few weeks. Now, don't you stay at home that Sunday. Nobody stays at home that Sunday. You could come on and take it like a woman or a man. There's also one commentator, I believe it was Dr. MacArthur, who believes this may refer to being slow to become teachers or preachers too quickly after salvation. Another thought that this verse is best translated slow to murmur. Instead of slow to speak, slow to murmur. You think those people in verse 1 who were scattered from their homes and jobs, you think they had any temptation to murmur, to complain? Could be. You remember Moses and the Israelites? You remember that word murmuring, don't you? Murmuring against our circumstances or against the people of God or the things of God, God seems to take that personally. It's when Paul was persecuting the church, the people. What did Jesus say to him when Paul said, "Who are you?" "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting." If we're too quick to speak, that often leads to angry words. That brings us to our next duty, there in verse 19. Slow to anger. And verse 20, for the wrath of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Righteousness is not going to take root in an angry attitude. People will say and do things when they're angry that they wouldn't do otherwise, and that they wouldn't say otherwise. It's almost like the drunkard. You know how we'll make excuse for a drunkard? "Well, he was just drunk when he said that." The same thing for anger. They were so angry they said things. And I wondered, as I read this and pondered on it, how many divorces are coming about because of angry words. Tempers are rising. People say things.
You think about that, whether it's anger or drunkenness or one of these other things, you remove that stopgap from thought to mouth, it's not like that substance or that situation has caused things that weren't there before.
Right.
It's just unleashed the floodgates.
Right.
You're not thinking, you know, just spew it out.
Exactly right. It's there. We also have the type of person that Sue just mentioned. "I'm just a frank person," or "that's just my personality," or, "Well, you know me, I just tell people what I think." Well, do you really? Is that the wisest thing to do? Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control." You have to put a lid on it sometimes, don't you? Sometimes that anger could be toward God. I wonder if any of those in verse 1 who were scattered, who now had no home and no job and wandered from place to place, I wonder if any of those were angry at God or any of us. Any circumstances in our lives ever made you a little irritated that God allowed this or brought this? It's very easy. It's very possible. There's also plenty of anger going on today toward the Word of Truth. Ask those Duck Dynasty people. Ask that man that made that comment about the homosexuals. He got it unleashed on him right quick. It might have been a nice TV show, but they wanted him shut up. How dare he quote the Bible? Ephesians 4:31-32 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice." Well, that covered them all, didn't it? Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. Let it all be put away from you. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. There's our key. God in Christ has forgiven us. What can we say about Jesus, though, in Matthew 21:12? He was angry. Turned over those tables, ran people out. Was that okay? Well, of course we have to say it's okay. Jesus did it. But what can we say about that? About his anger? Oh, it was righteous anger. He was zealous for the house of prayer, wasn't he? I get angry every time I hear the ACLU bringing a lawsuit against another person for praying or saying whatever. Or so if I listen to them too much, I'm pretty much mad 24 hours a day at them. But I have to remind myself they are not my enemy. They're just doing, as Brother Jimmy would say, they're doing what they believe is true. Yep, they're doing what lost people do. They're doing what Paul did, persecuting Christians. I get angry at governments of other countries for beating and killing my brothers and sisters. I'm angry at Iran for holding that, what's his name, Saeed, Brother Saeed, in prison. I'm angry at the Muslims for beating people, for beating my brothers and sisters. Are you angry about that? Do you get angry? And sometimes I think, how long, Lord? How long are you going to put up with this? Ephesians 4:26 says something about our anger. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. So is it okay to be angry?
Yes.
Yes. To what? Go ahead, Ray. Not to stay angry. Not to let it fester. Not to just dwell on it. I don't just dwell on the ACLU all the time. Yes. I'll just stay stirred up, won't I? You remember when Moses came down from the mountain and he had those two tablets with the Ten Commandments that God himself had written, and he saw the people dancing and having some kind of orgy, I guess. And what did he do? Threw them and broke them in anger. Did you see anywhere, though, that God got mad at Moses for doing that? Yeah. He rewrote them. I don't see that he actually said anything to Moses about his anger. I expect God was pretty angry himself. But we have another occasion. Moses, he was told to speak to the rock. You remember the rock? And Moses struck the rock. Okay, what was the difference? He didn't do what God told him to do. You remember that story? God wouldn't let him go into the promised land because he struck the rock. He was not obedient. He didn't honor God. He didn't honor God as holy. You remember the story of Jesus about to heal the man's hand, the withered hand, I believe it was. The Pharisees were watching him to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. And it says, Jesus glared around on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their heart. He was grieved because of how hard they were, and it made him angry. There's also the trouble with anger is bitterness. There are some who are bitter. Somebody way back when said something, maybe in anger, or did something that offended them, and they're bitter. They carry it around with them. They're usually angry people, bitter people. And we just read in Ephesians, what are we to do with bitterness? We're to put it away. someone made you bitter, you can come to the Lord. You know, I've always thought you could come to God, you can gossip to God all you want to. If someone makes me mad, Ken makes me mad, I can go to the Lord and gossip all I want to and tell him what I'm thinking. So God's just waiting for us to put that bitterness away, to put anger away. An angry spirit is not very, it's not a listening person, is it? It's not a listening spirit. It's not a teachable spirit. What can you teach someone who's angry? Well, they're just angry. They're going to be mad. Now, verse 20 kind of sums all this up. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Well, I would say we would all agree with that. There's another translation I like. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. That's a good translation, isn't it? God desires a righteous life for us. Anger's not going to help our cause. What did we just read? It's okay to be angry. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Oh, I thought someone was saying, I guess they were playing and talking to each other. I thought someone was about to say something. I thought one of the children's about to speak, okay? Now, in a few weeks from now, if we don't do what verses 19 and 20 tell us, that could all almost lead us right into verse 21, which is not my verse, into wickedness. Verse 21 gives us some consequences of not doing what verses 19 and 20 tell us. And I believe Pastor Sterling's going to start there next time in verse 21. I hope he doesn't. I don't think he'll be using the King James because superfluity of naughtiness is in that verse. And you know.
Yeah, we've discussed that.
Yeah, we've discussed that. And I tell him about it every now and then, superfluity of naughtiness. That actually can be translated an abundance of wickedness. Oh, it doesn't sound good now, does it? Yes, ma'am.
I think sometimes if people could see their faces in a moment of anger, if you could take a snapshot of that and show it to them when they're in their right mind, it would change a lot. Because it changes just like a sweet spirit changes your physical appearance. A moment of sin, anger, whatever, it changes how you look physically.
Yes, it does. Red in the face, blood vessels throbbing. Whoa. Any other comments or questions?
Paul David Tripp, a couple of months ago. It's an older message, but he was giving a message on anger. And he was saying a good example of our outer bodies and who we are and what we have on the inside is if you think of a water bottle and you're holding a water bottle, it obviously has water in it. You can see it. If you shake the bottle, like if you are just going to pour it out, you're like, okay, water's going to come out of it. If you shake the bottle or squeeze it or change the outside circumstance at all, you can't expect for lemonade or milk to come out of it. Water's going to come out of it. So what we were talking about earlier, the things that are inside are naturally going to come out, and the circumstances are the only thing that are changed to manipulate that circumstance or the situation. Mm-hmm. And so what's in you truly is going to come out. You can't expect for something else to come out.
Mm-hmm.
That really changed the way that I thought about it, because then it was like, when I'm in that moment, what really is going to come out of me? Is it going to be righteousness or is it going to be sin? So.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the more that you get into that, the more you... I can't remember who I was talking to. Dustin showed me a lyric to a song. I am the problem. You think about that, you know, like she said, if you're in a situation, you find yourself getting unrighteously angry, and you, if you're able to, it's not always easy, but maybe later, or if you can really use some self-control and try to analyze what's going on, you realize, I'm the problem. This person, like you said, they're just acting like an unbeliever's going to act. So whether it's somebody at work that just grinds your nerves, or traffic, or, you know, whatever it is, you know, you think about, what's the problem in this situation? Is it that person being mean and nasty? Is it that guy that just cut me off, or the rubberneckers that are making I-85 back up, even though there's nothing really wrong? Mm-hmm. You know, what's the problem? Well, I'm a problem. If I'm letting that get me bent out of shape, it's in here. I'm the problem, and I need the
Yep, yep, I'm the problem. Yes, ma'am, Kate.
A lot of times we get angry because we're inconvenienced.
Uh-oh.
And that if we take a step back, you know, like I may want to finish getting dinner ready or something and have to go deal with this squabble and can do it in anger because I'm being inconvenienced by not being able to do what I want and perhaps need to do. You know, the family needs to eat. But I've noticed that in my life and in watching other people, a lot of anger comes from being inconvenienced. And a lot of times it's not justified anger. We're just, you know, wanting it our way right then and there and get very angry if we don't get what we want.
Our little schedule been upset. Yes, that's a quick one.
Yeah, unless we get to the point where we think we're above all of that, Dr. B.B. Caldwell used to preach, sit out there all pious and righteous. I wish I could come down there and open your chest and let you see the snakes. Because we're all full of them.
Yep. Anyone else?
I only got about 9 things, but I wrote down about 3. Earlier on, you were talking about when you got suffering, and you were talking about comfort. I just thought that was kind of interesting, because when you were talking about, you know, like listening and things like that, how a lot of people don't listen. But getting a cup of coffee with this guy right here, and coming here on Sunday, trust me, I'm gonna let you guys know. Boy, I'm scratching my head. I don't come for the food, so you know. Non-believers, I wouldn't categorize them so quickly, you know, because there's a lot of people out there that are struggling and scratch their head, you know. All that we have, you know, is the dinosaur bones that we've seen, and we know those exist, you know, because we can ask, well, you say 1 million years, but what, you know, unless you know the hours or the days, what is a day to God if He wrote it the Word in the Bible, you know, and you go down this rabbit hole, you have so many thoughts, by the end of the day, you just go, man. It's already Sunday again. Well, okay, let's see what else is going to go and start another process that's going to last 7 days. And like I said, you know, I'm thinking of things that you said an hour ago. And I'm going, oh, yeah. Well, to answer that question, when you're in prayer, you could answer it right before you ask the question, or you read the verses of James 14 and 15, and that was the answer to your prayer as far as what non-believers, you know, how can they think that way? Because a lot of them, they're ultimately, because they don't know the word, because it's not something they can touch. It's not something, you know, they don't have a great example in people that are patient. You know, most non-believers, their examples are Sunday Christians and, you know, evangelists, and, you know, they don't have, you know, like Paul or someone, he says, they don't have Jesus Christ to look at. You know, they go, Sunday, change channel 20.2, I don't have cable, so I'm sorry. You know, they just want your money. So it's just something, you know, that keep in mind, you know, it is a struggle, because, you know, there are those people that go, yeah, God's not real. I'm 19 years old, I already know that. And I go, you can't even keep an open heart. You're that sure. You know, I'm almost 30, and I have no clue. No clue, but I'll tell you what, coming back, you know, it keeps me coming back, because I go, if I'm wrong, then, you know, so I'm not always right, and I hope I am wrong. So, you know, but, you know, I could keep the clock ticking, but...
Mm-hmm.
That's only 3 points.
Yeah, I was going to mention Facebook is something that takes up our time, but I didn't want to be stoned, so I didn't mention that. I didn't want to be run off. Well, let's, if there's no other comments or questions, let's bow. Prayer. Our Father God, we do thank you, Lord, for this word of truth that you've given us, that you have given us your word. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that it's inspired by you and that you used holy men to write it as you gave them utterance. Our Father, we thank you for everyone that's here today. We pray, God, that you would meet each need that's listed, that's here today, Father, that you work in each one of our lives according as your purpose, and that you would receive honor and glory. For you are worthy for us to lift up the name of Jesus as we look for your soon return. First, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.